Hey there, and welcome back to the Naked Marriage Podcast. We are Dave and Ashley Willis, and on this podcast, we address the truth about sex, intimacy, and lifelong love. And we are continuing in our series today about communication. And this one is one we've never talked about, but I think is so important because we're calling this married strangers because the question kind of that a lot of people who are in this dynamic have is, how do I communicate well if I feel like I'm married to a stranger? Went into marriage, you know, reluctantly, and you didn't feel like you knew each other well, but for whatever reason, you're like, we need to get married, and it's just kind of stayed that way, and you never really gotten to know each other. Or what I think is a more common dynamic is when you got married, you felt like you knew this person, but you've both changed so much that you feel like you're married to a stranger.
You haven't changed together. You've kind of changed.
Yeah.
You've drifted during that change.
Exactly. And our producer, Taiwan, who shout out to Taiwan and the whole team here. Yes.
Josh
and Josh over there in the booth. And our EXO team is incredible. We could not do this without them. But Taiwan, he was talking about this show that we actually, can I mention it, Taiwan? You think it's okay? Okay, so there's this show called Welcome to Plathville. Dave's not watched much of it. I love reality TV. And ever since I got Max, I'm catching up on, I think it's
Max.
Well,
you like reality TV that's like train wreck reality.
Well, no,
TV.
It's not my life at all. And I like stuff that is not my life.
Like, for instance, she watched Sister Wives. And I'm just like, why?
I'm like I would never want this ministry, in a million years.
Like, and how, you know, God's design, one man, one woman. She's like, I know,
of
but
course.
I just like watching how this plays out.
It's a train wreck. I can't look away. And that's terrible. But it does pay their bills, so.
A reminder that, like, God's plan for, you know, one man, one woman, is
100%
the plan. Because you know, you see people doing it, trying to do it other ways, polyamory,
right,
or polygamy. It's just a train wreck.
I've watched ones on cults too. I'm weird,
but
like
then you
that.
Got, like, what fits into this series, Married at First Sight, when
now,
you
see,
literally are
I can't
marrying
get into
a
that.
Stranger.
I can't get into that. Then, why can I not get into
really
that?
People really are married to strangers.
I know. Like, Brent Evans, our you know, president here, like he likes that show.
If you were on Married at First Sight and now you're listening to this episode, because I literally married a stranger. We're trying to figure this out. Welcome. We're glad you're here. But sweetie, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, so Welcome to Plathville is about a fundamentalist family, kind of like the Duggars, wouldn't you say? I mean, Duggar-esque. And they, a very sweet family, but it's just kind of like their highs and lows of their life. And there's one particular couple, it's the oldest son of this family and his wife. And like a big thing on this season.
Well, but the thing is, the parents divorced, right?
Well, yes. I don't want to give too much away, but that's kind of a recent. I'm trying not to give any spoilers.
Because at this point, they look nothing like the Duggars.
No, their family that was once very fundamentalist and
now they look more like Ozzy Osbourne's family.
Oh well, no. But it's just kind of, I don't know, disentanglement of like all this. Okay, and so anyway. The oldest son, who is married, like when they got married, he married a girl who's also from a fundamentalist family, but they both really did not want to create that kind of family themselves. But over the time they've been married, which I think is about 4 years, been together like 7 years, they just don't feel like they know each other. I mean, it's especially the wife, you know, it's like, I don't even know this person. And again, this is sensationalized for TV. I don't know how much truth is there, but it does bring forth a dynamic that I do think some people find themselves in. And I remember watching this particular pivotal scene where they're talking about how they want to raise their children, and they realize that they are on such different pages in their faith and in their politics, in their worldviews, that they don't even think that they can come to terms on how they would raise their child. And they realize that they're basically strangers now, like in a lot of ways.
They don't even,
and they kind of live these separate lives anyway. And so we were talking with Taiwan, our producer, and he was like, what if we did one on married strangers? Because I think in real life, people are dealing with this, you know?
Yeah.
And so—
like, who are you?
Like, I don't know you. And you've changed so much from the person that I married that I just don't know how we have this common ground anymore. And what I would first say to this dynamic is that really, whether we realize it or not, in marriage, we're all changing some as the longer we're married, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah.
I mean, we go through changes, and sometimes, you know, that's growing up, you know, like that couple in
like,
Welcome
instance,
to Plathville, they got married young.
You keep getting more beautiful.
Oh.
And more
you
brilliant.
You keep getting more handsome.
And
no, I mean, I think that in all seriousness, I do think sometimes life circumstances can make us change. You know, there can be different hardships we go through. There can be things where we're removed from our home of origin and we're like, wait a minute, everything my family taught me isn't necessarily how I see things. And
right,
and then all
right.
of a sudden we're kind of changing how we look at the world. I think sometimes we can end up surrounding ourselves with people that end up changing us, that we allow to change us. And then our spouse is like, I don't really like these changes, you know? So what do we do with that? What do we do when we feel like we're married to a stranger?
Well, I mean, I think just acknowledging where you are is, I mean, if you're listening to this and you're nodding your head, you're saying like, yeah, that's kind of where we are. Just acknowledging it's the first point. Like, okay, well, it's some point. We don't have to diagnose how we got here right now, but just acknowledge we have drifted apart. We have changed and not changed together as we've changed hand in hand, but we've kind of drifted into different directions as we've changed. And this isn't how we want to live. Like, we don't want to live just continuing to grow apart more and more as strangers. So let's decide, and it takes one person going first. It might not even be a team decision at this point, but one of you decide, I want to change that dynamic. I want to pursue my spouse all over again. I want to get to know them all over again.
Yeah.
I want to recommit to them all over again. And I want to start growing with them so that we don't get in this dynamic again, as we mm-hmm. continue to change, that we're changing alongside one another.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to do what you did at the beginning of the relationship when you were getting to know each other. And that's build time together, have lots of conversations, talk about everything. Most likely when you were dating, you never ran out of stuff to talk about. You mm-hmm. know, you're just fascinated by each other. You're staying up late and talking, you're spending all this time together. And when you become strangers with your spouse, those things have stopped. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not prioritizing communication. You're assuming you know all you need to know. You're not prioritizing time together. You're allowing the busyness of life to prioritize your schedule more than just saying, no, we're going to make sure our marriage is a priority. Mm-hmm. So you got to go back to doing those things you were doing at the beginning, and then make sure you keep doing them. And tell your spouse, listen, I'm sorry. I don't know how this has happened, but I feel like we're drifting apart. I feel like we've become different people. This isn't a let's get divorced talk. This is a let's reconnect talk. Mm-hmm. Like, let's have the marriage we both always wanted. I'm sorry for whatever role I've played in this, and I want to do things differently. I really want us to spend time together. I would say, you know, like, start. It doesn't have to all just feel like it doesn't have to be like, let's just get in this intense counseling program. Counseling can be helpful, but just start doing the fun stuff you did at the beginning. Like, let's plan a trip together. Let's get away for no agenda other than just reconnecting.
Yeah.
And let's start doing more of that stuff. Let's redefine our schedule so we're having more time together. And when we talk, let's really talk.
I think it's so true. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head that a lot of the common theme through people becoming this dynamic of married strangers is not spending enough time together. You know, most of the time when we work with couples where they feel like they're with a stranger, they have had a long season of living parallel lives.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah.
You know, and maybe looking back, they would have been like, well, I'm just a fiercely independent person. Like, you'll hear that a lot. Like, I'm fiercely independent. And I get that. Like, in certain ways, that's actually really good. You know, just because we get married doesn't mean we lose our independence completely. You know, we have our individuality. But when you're married, you can't have a strong marriage without spending significant amounts of time together. And I know for some of you watching and listening, you might be a military couple. You might be have a job that takes you away for certain amounts of time, but that doesn't mean you can't still have a strong marriage. You still can go out of your way to, you know, remotely connect. There's ways to do that. I mean, we live in the day and age where there's literally no excuses, but it does take intentionality. And I think a lot of times, you know, maybe if you really think about it, if you're in this dynamic, I would ask you, like, well, how much time do you spend together? Because the odds are you probably don't spend a lot of time. And you could say, well, actually, I want to spend time. Like, I desperately wish my spouse spent time with me, but he or she is just off with their friends, or they're just choosing other things. Maybe, you know, we've known couples where they're literally in ministry, and for some reason, one of the spouses, I mean, we there was actually a couple we know very well that the wife, she just got it in her head that that maybe she missed her calling as a missionary. And so she just chose to be away from home, you know, more than with her family. And eventually they divorced.
Well, by her saying like, I want to, this is who I am now.
Yeah. I don't want to be married anymore.
I don't want to be married. I don't want the burdens of like full-time motherhood. I want to go be able to travel when I want.
Right.
And then like confusing that with God's will. Just to be clear, it's never God's will for you to abandon your family.
No.
Like his will is for you to be committed to your spouse
and children
that you entered into covenant with and to the children that you have together. And
you can still serve
and go on mission trips and things. You do all those things, but all of us, our primary ministry is our marriage and family. For all of us who are married, for all of us who have kids. And everything else is secondary to that, always. Mm-hmm. But that was a drastic example of two people that had just gotten two very different places. And it doesn't have to get to that point. It really, really doesn't. And so if you find yourself moving toward that dynamic, take a step back and say, I know that you appreciate learning because you're listening to this podcast right now to learn and grow in your marriage, and props to you for that. So I want to give you another opportunity to learn. Our friends at Hillsdale College so believe in equipping our culture with truths related to history, economics, faith, citizenship. They're offering their college level courses completely free. I encourage you to check out, to start with, the course on ancient Christianity, which is going to give you a really solid base in understanding what was happening culturally and historically during the early years of the church. It's really, really powerful, and the teaching is world class. You can find out all about it at hillsdale.edu/naked to enroll. And I'm telling you guys, there's no cost. This is free college level education, and it's going to benefit your life. So it's hillsdale.edu/naked to register. Check them out at hillsdale.edu/naked and start learning today. I'm super excited about some Mother's Day gifts and future birthday gifts that I have coming up. And it's made possible through our friends at Aura, A-U-R-A. An Aura frame is essentially a digital picture frame that you can upload and customize really at any point. You can have your pictures streaming in real time. You can change what pictures it shows. You can make it exactly what you want it to be. It's so customizable. It's so cool. You can even add pictures to a loved one's frame in some other state or other part of the world by uploading a new picture you think they'll love that'll pop up on their frame. And it's a great way to keep families connected. I think this is one of the most thoughtful gifts that you can give. So I want you to go to AuraFrames.com and use the promo code NAKED to get $30 off plus free shipping, which is an amazing deal. That's AuraFrames.com. Use the code NAKED, and I promise you, they're going to love their Aura frame. Wait a second. We're headed to the edge of a cliff here.
Yeah.
And I don't want to fall off.
Exactly. And I think sometimes it can feel like a power play or control to the person who maybe for whatever reason is wanting more independence. It can feel like, oh my gosh, you're putting this lasso around me and pulling me in, and I don't like it. And so it's very delicate. Like if you find your spouse, you feel like they keep on wandering away from the marriage, you know, and I think some signs of this is not checking in with you as much, being away from the home more, finding reasons to be away from the home more, and not really engaging with you, just kind of, even if they're in the room, they're just miles away, or they're on their phone, or they're just disengaging, right? I think that it's important that you come to them and say, listen, this isn't about control, but we're married. Like we're married. We made a commitment to each other. And if you have children, we made a commitment to these children. I want to know you. I want to be with you. I want to grow with you. And we can't grow when we never spend time together. And listen, I get it. We are aging. We are growing. We're changing some, but I can't change with you if we're not in this together. Like I can't even embrace these changes that you're making until we're in it together. You know, I mean, I've seen couples over the years at first, like let's say one spouse never cared anything about health, and all of a sudden something happens and they're like, man, I need to take up running because I want to live longer and I want to be healthier. And all of a sudden they're devoting all this time to running. And I know, you know, at first that other spouse who's not into it is like, wait a minute, that's kind of weird. But the ones that do well with that kind of change are like, hey, let me join you sometimes, or let me go cheer you on at your marathon. Let me, you know, bring me into the picture.
Let me buy you running shoes.
Let me get
for
you right.
Let me
have interest in what you're interested in, you know, because if it's not something, I mean, I think sometimes our spouse can change in a way that is not good for the marriage, you know, like that's a whole other conversation.
Right.
When they're engaging in some kind of activity that clearly is out of bounds, or they're changing and just like I think, you know, like back to the Welcome to Plathville, when maybe they're abandoning their faith. I mean, that's a huge concern. Like that's a completely different podcast. Like we have some podcast episodes about that. Like if your spouse doesn't share your faith, I think it is harder when maybe they once shared your faith and all of a sudden they're now saying, well, I don't know if
right,
I do.
Right, that is a heartbreaking dynamic.
That's a very heartbreaking dynamic.
It's, well, we started out in covenant, you know, both saying God was the foundation. And then one spouse says, not anymore.
Yeah.
That's not me anymore. And like, what do you do with that? Well, the Bible gives, you know, outline for what to do in those situations. And it's essentially to continue to love the unbelieving spouse, to continue to just model the love of Jesus to them. And as long as they're willing to stay in the marriage, that you stay in that covenant of marriage with them and pray for them and try to be a light to them. But then if they leave, if they choose ultimately to leave, then, you know, live at peace.
I mean, you did everything in your part,
yeah,
right? And who knows, you know, who's to say that God can't bring you still back together? I mean, we've seen that happen. We've seen that happen multiple times over our years of doing ministry for marriages. But, you know, I want to just level with people that this is hard. You know, when you feel like, man, I fell in love with this person, I married this person, I've had children with this person, and now I don't feel like I know them. I mean, it's heartbreaking, and it can be very lonely.
Yeah.
And it can also really put us in a very vulnerable position to maybe fall into habits and behaviors that we didn't ever think we would do. You know, we've seen this where people get lonely and they start reaching out to old flames. We've seen it where they get into pornography because maybe you're not having sex at all. Because I mean, gosh, if somebody's never there, you're probably not having sex, you know? I mean, and it's just really, you know, that's a breakdown too of that connection. And I would just say, if this is your dynamic, you've got to be, even though I know you're the one kind of staying in the marriage, trying to fight for the marriage, listening to podcasts like these, but you've got to be so just mindful of where your mind goes, where your heart goes, who you're talking to, where you go online, right, honey? Because this is where we see the breakdown.
Oh, sure. I mean, you're lonely and vulnerable and frustrated, you know, you're like, Satan wants to slither in and get you to settle for some counterfeit forms of comfort that will hurt you. You know, they'll hurt you in the end. So don't trade temporary pleasure for permanent regret. Don't do things that might feel good or enticing in the moment only to create more baggage and more pain down the road. And just be really careful who's speaking into your life in those moments. Because if you, like in your loneliness, surround yourself with a group of peers, you know, it's like going out with the guys after work or the girls after work, and they're all divorced or down on their husbands, and it just turns into, you know, having margaritas and just bashing, you know, the opposite sex, and we're better off with, you know, that's not what you need. You need a community around you who can bear the burden with you, who you can be honest with, like, man, I'm struggling, this is what's going on, please pay for my marriage.
Right.
That will do that, but will also encourage you and will also help provide some accountability that where you don't fall into some really unhealthy decisions in that time of vulnerability. Because any of us could. I mean, any of us in that moment of weakness and loneliness could, we're just more susceptible to temptations.
Sin is no respecter of persons. I mean, like, any of us are capable of anything. I mean, it's just the truth. Like, we, you know, we just have frailties as human beings. And so it's so important. But, you know, God will help you in this time of loneliness and in this time of bewilderment and kind of disappointment. I think it's disappointing when you feel like you're married to a stranger. Absolutely. But you can love your spouse better when you stay, you know, connected to God and really ask God to keep your heart soft and to help you discover new things about your spouse and to take interest. I think showing interest is just huge, you know, like, because I think when they feel judged and they feel like when we tend to, and now granted, I know there's a place, we've talked about this in previous episodes, where if they've gone off course, that's not necessarily judgment. I mean, you're concerned, right? You're showing concern, not judgment. But I think that we have to be very careful in our tone and our approach to our spouse, and just make sure that it's a place of concern and a place of curiosity and interest rather than judgment, because that's the judgment, and it's just going to push them away more and make them think, well, you just don't care about me. You don't know me at all. And you might think I don't anymore. I don't know who this person is, but it's important that we just keep on showing them love. And the, you know, you brought this up, sweetie, prayer is essential.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Prayer is essential. And sometimes, I mean, it might even be God, like, help me just remember why I married this person. Like, and help me to see glimpses of that person.
And let them, you know, be open,
yes,
to us reconnecting, and let me be open to, right, us reconnecting, and draw our hearts back together, and let us both grow closer to you, Jesus. Because yep, the more you and your spouse are growing closer to God, the closer he's going to bind your own hearts together.
Yes.
And that's a journey. When you're seeking God, as you grow closer to him, you're going to grow closer to the people people in your life, your spouse, right, first and foremost, ideally, unless your spouse is just in rebellion, pulling away from God and from you at the same time. And in that case, you know, like we've said, pray for them and do what you can. I know it can be a lonely place, but don't lose hope. It can benefit to talk to a counselor or to someone on our team at exomarriage.com/help. Feel free to reach out to us for prayer. We'd be happy to pray with you and for you. You can send us a message on Instagram. We're at Dave and Ashley Willis. We love hearing from you, whatever reasons that you write. It's good to hear from you guys, connect over there, and just keep pursuing one another. You're not in this alone. God is with you in this struggle, and we pray along with you. If you want an event to come to together, you and your spouse should put one of our Exo Marriage conferences on your calendar. It's a one weekend, just a Friday and Saturday. And those 2 days, I'm telling you, could make a world of difference in helping you take a big step towards reconnection. And plus, they're fun. You're going to laugh a lot, and laughing bonds people together.
Oh, it does. And we need that. We desperately need that, especially when we feel like we're at this place where we just don't know each other. I mean, like, laughing can tether your hearts together, you know, and connect in ways that you forgot you could connect, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we hope this episode was helpful to you, and we hope you join us next week on the Naked Marriage Podcast. Thank you all so much.